Language matters, doesn't it? I would like, if you're willing, to kind of close your eyes. Garth will actually play the audio recording of something that I wonder if you can just, you know, give yourself over to it for, you know, some seconds, maybe as long as a minute. Just listen as this one washes through the speakers and maybe into your noggin. Let that keep going, but that's actually Vicky Hansen. It doesn't sound like that, does it? She's an Australian artist, and I'll give you a hint, she's not singing in English. This particular piece was recorded in 2007, but the words that she's singing are much, much older than that. Do you have a guess what language? Well, you can't guess what language it is. That's actually Syriac Aramaic. Syriac Aramaic. It sounds nice, but the truth is it's very, very foreign to my ear. And, well, I'm going to just read part of that text, but I have to do it with apologies to anybody who might actually speak Aramaic in the room, because I'm going to make a mess. Abun de bashmayo, nathkadesh smok, teeth malkuthok, nawi sabayonok, akaino de bashmayo afbaro, hablan lamau daskunan yamano, washbuk ian haubain watohain, akano dafkan sbakan il hayoban, lothalan il nesi uno, Elofasan men bisho, metul do lo coxi, malkutho u helo u teshbatho, la awalam omen amin. Have you guessed it? It transcends tradition. It transcends culture and language, and it is as old as the Christian Gospels. If you haven't guessed it yet, it's deeply familiar. It's intended to be a shared experience. This is one of those that's publicly offered, collectively recited, said at weddings and at funerals. We say it around Eucharist, and we say it around baptism. All of the synoptic writers of the ancient Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, all of them in their own time ascribe this particular text or saying or prayer to Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. It's the prayer of Jesus. Our Catholic friends would call it the Our Father, and we would call it what? See, did you guess it by then? You got it. You know. In the biblical text, it's actually in Koine Greek, different from the language we just heard it. Among Orthodox Christians, they would probably offer and remember it and hear it in Latin. The Roman Catholics have their version. You can tell when you get to a funeral because they leave off that end part. My guess is that for my grandmother, the very first time she heard it, the first time she memorized it, what language was that? Norwegian. Yeah. Let me show you the translation. Can you see? Abun de mashmayo. And then go ahead with those English translations of each of the lines. It's lovely. The next one. Habhalan lamao ladokanan yamono. Go ahead, put that one up. You start to see the links of the words yamono, daily bread, mana in Hebrew. Do you see? Do you see where these words come from? And then you go further on too, even more of the petitions deeper in. Lothalan elasnu yono. Go ahead. Yeah, save us from the time of trial. And finally, yeah, Meitul Del Wath, and then it ends with La'olam Amen, Amen. Yeah. It's in its way this beautiful word. For most people of faith, they've committed it to memory. For most people of faith, it's way down deep. It's kind of like the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a. So take one little trip in the. No, what's the minnow song from Gilligan's Island? It started from this tropic port aboard this. See how language works? It just seeps in and sort of trains us. It becomes an act of devotion and habit and discipline. For over 500 years, Lutherans have embraced the prayer in our public worship. But more than that, we've also used it as a means to teach the next generation, trying to catechize those younger ones in such a way that they discover it and learn it and embrace it and love it. They commit it to their brain. They commit it to their soul. When it's good, it's a little bit like breathing. It's through us and in us and out again. It permeates our experience and forms our language and our practice. It gives shape to the relationship that we share with God. I may have told you this, but sometimes when I'm at graveside for a funeral as the pastor, or when I'm in a hospital room praying with someone, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer in the more contemporary version for 20 years. But which one do I do when I'm in those settings? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see what I mean. Framed by an introduction and concluded with a doxology. How many petitions are there? There are 7. Do you remember what? How about the last word? Do you know what the last word of the Lord's Prayer is for us, the way Lutherans do it? It's amen, amen. Say it together, ready? Amen. Which means, let it be so with me. It's like handing God the keys, offering up our lives inside and out to God's care and God's purpose in us. How about the very first word of the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, it's a, is it singular or plural? Think about it, because Jesus has just told the story about the Good Samaritan, right? Remember, and that's in response to the question, who is my... Yeah, you see where Jesus is going? It's hard for Jesus to talk about life, about prayer, about our identity before God, and not talk also about, them, the ones next to me. The first petition is, hallowed be thy name. The word God is not often hallowed in our culture. It's probably more often spoken as a term of derision or disgust or revulsion. Oh my, fill in the blank, right? I know you would never use it that way. The second petition, I wish we'd never used that word, kingdom. Wouldn't the Bible be a different book? Wouldn't Christianity be a different religion if we translated it from the original text? When we think of kingdom, we think of royalty or institution, we think of heaven or church or whatever. It isn't that. It is the presence and the power, the intention, the purpose, the love of God made present. That's what we pray to have be and to come. And your will be done, kind of this reality check with our palms up. Luther said it this way: God's will is done when God breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil and of the world and of my sinful nature. How about the fourth petition? Give us bread. Is that just the stuff that we eat? No, we know. We know, like Luther would have reminded us, that it's work, it's place. It's friendships. It's a roof over our head. It's the clothes on our back. And then the fifth petition, forgive us. Oh, and it has that troubling second part. A kid, I like to quote this one. A kid wrote, and forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Right? How can I know this forgiveness if I never share this one? And the sixth petition, save us from thlipsis in the Greek, from, it's tribulation or it's suffering. It's from times that are hard. And it's not so much save me from it. When you look at the original text, it's save me in it. As if you could avoid it. As if you could get out of it. We know better. Seventh petition, deliver us from evil. There is evil. Luther says, we pray in this petition in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, and we might add of system, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. No wonder we ask our kids to memorize this. No wonder we offer it up in the best times, oh man, and in the worst, right? No wonder we offer it up every time we get together in this room. It is at the core. It's where we really live. I've watched you looking at this picture up behind me. Can you see his hands? No wonder this little boy has come to a holy place, a Christian place. No wonder this little boy has come to pray and come to hope and come to cry. This photograph was taken in the fall of 2015 in Aleppo, Syria. If you know and keep track of the news, Bashar al-Assad had committed terrible and grave violence against members of that community as there was an uprising. These days, the count is something like 400,000 deaths. Man, no wonder. No wonder this kid is where he is. Luke sets this particular episode in the life and ministry of Jesus in a particular spot. It is along the journey. When you read the text and you get to chapter 11, you realize that Jesus and his friends have just told the story of the encounter of the Good Samaritan, and they've been visiting with Martha and Mary and, oh, the dead guy, Lazarus, and he's been raised from the dead. But where are they actually going? They call it travel narrative. That's the kind of scholarly way to describe it. They're on their way to a particular city. They're going to Jerusalem. And what will happen there? Along the way, Jesus stops, and Luke, just in his way, writes this little tiny phrase, Jesus stops at a certain place, and he prays. His disciples must have witnessed something compelling in that, because what do they ask of Jesus? Teach us that. Would you show us? Would you share that so we can get it? When I'm empty, when I'm at a loss, when my words, my language fail, I have that. I have that anchor to liberate and to sustain and to hold and keep me. I have a friend. He comes here to church almost every Thursday morning. It's almost like clockwork, and I appreciate it because we usually spend a little time together kind of high-fiving and teasing and elbows and ribs and the rest. He says that he's here to dust the pews, and I trust that he's doing that, but he's in here on a Thursday morning, and well, you might notice if you're on a dusty pew, just send me a note and I'll let this person know. but he touched where you're sitting right now just in the last few days. And he does that routine each week. Now, like I say, he says he comes in here without lights on, without there being anyone else present. He comes in here to dust. But I think I know what he's really doing. Do you? When he's alone in this place, he's mindful of so many others. Our Father, who art in heaven. Usually he'll stop and he'll see me afterward, and sometimes we'll remember somebody about whom he has care, somebody who he knows is facing a hard time, and we'll have one of those one or two sentence prayers, and we'll say amen and high five and another punch in the shoulder, and he's on his way. When we talk about prayer, he says he believes in it. Do you? Amen.